Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23? Now, in your bulletin, I did a typo. My fault is I said verse 22 and 23, 23, 24, something like that. We're covering verses 23 through 33, just so you don't get nervous. He's going to spend all that time in two verses. You know, even if I did, the Lord's got stuff to say, right? So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, what we left off in verse 22, we'll pick up at verse 23 today. And I'm calling today's message, the rule of love. And you'll know why very quickly, the rule of love. You know, when a lawyer approached Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment of all time? Wouldn't you know a lawyer would want to know what the most important rule is, right? What's the greatest law? That's pretty much what the lawyer was asking. What's the most important law? And Jesus answered in Matthew 22:37, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And he didn't stop there. He says, let me tell you the second. They go together, by the way. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So Jesus was saying, wait, it's not just the one. It's the two. Everything that matters hangs on love. Loving God and loving one another. And you could, I hope you're taking notes. You could write it down, look it up later, maybe in your small groups, explore it further. Matthew 22, verse 37 through 40. Now I want you to know something about love. People have a big misconception about love. What is love? Oh, it's this feeling where you feel all gooey, you know. No. Love isn't a feeling. As a matter of fact, love is a commitment. And love is considerate. Love puts others first. To love is to put another's need before your own. That's what love is. By the way, you married people. I just saw a wife go like that. No, I'm kidding. But love isn't just, I love you, baby. Love is... to love somebody is to put their needs and desires before your own. And Jesus modeled that for us. You know, I've told you many times it's all about Jesus. You've heard that before. Matter of fact, I was going to test you. It's all about Jesus. You know, you're brainwashed, okay? But it's a good kind of brainwashing. But I'll tell you something about Jesus that you already know. It's all about Jesus, but Jesus is all about love. And he models for us what real love is. God demonstrated love through Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, your first fill-in, those of you in small groups, you're using these fill-in sheets. Jesus demonstrates God's love for us in order that we might imitate and follow the way of love. The reason why I emphasize that word, the way of love, because it's not the feeling of love. It's not a word study. Love acts a certain way. Love has a certain kind of behavior that you would expect. And so Jesus modeled the way of love that we would walk in it. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, later we'll get to, matter of fact, we'll end with this verse in 1 Corinthians 11:1. He says, imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Yeah, some people make a big deal. Don't copy, you're a copycat. Well, that's a good kind of copycat. When you want to imitate Paul, as Paul imitates Christ. And how did Jesus demonstrate God's love? Well, Romans 5:8, you've all heard this. God demonstrates his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ultimate love is sacrificing, but ultimate love is self-sacrificing, even to the point of modeled for us on the cross. And, you know, many think the text we're about to cover is just about eating meat or not eating meat sacrificed to idols. So before you tune out, I want you to know that's really not the whole picture. It's about love. And it's about how love acts, how love thinks, and what love looks like in action. Because when we're talking about, should I eat meat sacrificed to idols? We've already talked about this once as we've gone through this text. But Paul's going to end here. This will be the last time we'll talk about meat sacrificed to idols, okay? A little bit different angle, but it's about loving your brother and loving the unbeliever so as not to stumble them. So with this in mind, let's look at the text, and I want you to, maybe you might have to do self-control not to follow along because I'm reading from the New Living Translation. It's not going to be the way, unless you have one. And I don't have a screen today, Somebody right now has a really impressive home theater system. I don't know what they're going to do with that. But, you know, and by the way, we need to just pray that the Lord deals with them accordingly. I don't know what the motivation and what the... God knows how to deal with each person. And we just keep praying, Lord, you deal with them. You know, I'm not saying break their teeth in their mouth like David did. You know how to deal with them. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting at verse 23 in the New Living Translation. You say, Paul writes to the Corinthians, you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. You say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is beneficial. Don't be concerned for your own good, but for the good of others. I'm going to pause a second there. I want you to know that is really the key verse in this text. Don't just make decisions on what you know you could do and what your liberties are, but for the good of others. Verse 25, so you may eat any meat that is sold in the marketplace without raising questions of conscience. For the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If someone who isn't a believer asks you home for dinner, accept the invitation if you want to. Eat whatever is offered to you without raising questions of conscience. But suppose someone tells you, this meat was offered to an idol. Don't eat it, out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. It might not be a matter of conscience for you, but it is for the other person. For why should my freedom be limited by what someone else thinks? If I can thank God for the food and enjoy it, why should I be condemned for eating it? Whatever you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Don't give offense to the Jews or the Gentiles or the church of God. I too, Paul says, try to please everyone in everything I do. I don't just do what is best for me. I do what is best for others, so that many may be saved, and that you should imitate me just as I imitate Christ. Father, I pray you open up our hearts to hear from you today. Though we don't struggle over eating meat sacrificed to idols, I know, Lord, there's principles in this text that apply to other areas of our life of consideration, how we might be considerate not to stumble our brethren or to even see people get saved because of the things we give up for their sake. So, Lord, speak to us as we study this text. I know there's personal application. Help us not to miss it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Starting from verse 23 now, and because I'm using the New King James, I know there's a variety out there. And so without the benefit of PowerPoint, you just listen and follow with your text. Verse 23, Paul says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Now wait, I want to remind you, we looked at this before back in chapter 6 and verse 12, that when he says, all things are lawful for me, this is the cry of the Corinthian Christians. You see, they were Gentiles, not Jews for the most part, and they were so relieved to find out that they didn't have to follow all the rules and regulations of Moses. You couldn't eat this, you can't eat that, you got to do this, you got to do that. And when they found out, you mean I could just be a Corinthian and be a born-again Christian? Hallelujah! All things are lawful for me. Well, you could imagine, you could get carried away with that saying, right? And we should revel in our liberties and our freedoms, absolutely. But Paul is kind of reeling them back in and saying, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, as you all like to say, but not all things edify. And so he's using their own saying and clarifying it. And I want to tell you, it's good to celebrate your freedoms and your liberties. I'm grateful for that. But it's important to realize sometimes my liberties and my freedoms could stumble someone else. And if that's the case, I need to curb my behavior. Matter of fact, if you look back in 1 Corinthians 6:12, that's when he first brought this saying up. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Don't be in bondage. It's funny because the whole theme here was freedom. I'm free. He goes, well, don't be under the bondage of anything. And keep the good of others. Love the Lord above all things and love your neighbor. So this should be the mindset of every Christian. And so you need to think about this. Where do I play? In your small groups, by the way, You guys are going to be in over your head this week, because you're going to talk about how this applies and where you might have to make sacrifices for others, for the unbeliever and for the believer. And you're going to talk through this thoroughly. And so your next fill-in is, are you more concerned with winning the lost to Christ than exercising your liberties? Or if you want, you could write in there your freedoms. Because if I know that a certain behavior is going to stumble an unbeliever, then I'll change my behavior. Do you love your weaker brother or sister? Because then it goes into the church. Do you love your weaker brother or sister in Christ enough that you're willing to demonstrate love even to the point of changing your lifestyle if it makes that kind of a difference? And that's what this text is really all about, okay? That's what love is really all about. Let me read a section of scripture that I put in your bulletin from Philippians chapter 2. I think this should be a marriage text, though it's not under the topic of marriage, but it's a great marriage text, but it's a great text about love, period. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 through 8. I'm going to read it from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. Love the way they word it. Do nothing out of rivalry or conceit, but in humility, consider others as more important than yourself. Oh, stop. Could you imagine what marriages would look like if each marriage partner considered their partner more important than themselves? Oh, no, we'll do it your way. No, we'll eat where you want to eat. No, it's not important. We'll do your idea was a better one. I know you're looking at each other going, are you crazy? Everyone should look out not for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Make your own attitude that of Christ Jesus, who existed in the form of God. He didn't consider equality with God as something to be used for his own advantage. I love the Holman Christian here. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a slave, taking on the likeness of men. And when he had come as a man in his external form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. Those of you who like to say, oh, yes, love. Love is supreme. Love,
you know.
Oh, no, it's supposed to be marriage, you know. Really, love, this is what love looks like. It's self-sacrificing. It's putting others before yourself. So don't talk all love unless you're willing to die to yourself. People ask my wife and I all the time, how did you make it 43 years? There's all kinds of jokes I can make here, but there's one thing we always say, die to yourself. It's about dying to yourself to put the other person first. And I have to admit, my wife's much better at it than I am. So that's why I'm glad I'm married to her. So, verse 23 says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek after his own good, but each one the other's well-being. Am I repeating myself? Sometimes we need to hear things twice, especially the guys, okay? All right? Amen. So let me read it again just for the men. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Husbands, help us, Lord, to live that way. See, this principle, Paul now applies to in answering their questions about what was controversial of his day. The controversy in his day was, should we eat meat that was sacrificed to idols? There's different controversies today. So this is the same principle we should apply to our modern day controversies. Should I do that in front of others? Should I drink this? Should I eat that? There's all kinds of, you know what? I'm not going to put a legalism trip on you. Maybe your small group leader will. I don't know. No, but we need to work this out so that we are imitating Christ in this way. And verse 24 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And here's your next fill-in. It can be said that to the degree you adhere to this verse, to that same degree, you are truly living the Christian life. Some people think the Christian life is all you got to do is just believe. You believe. It's grace. I believe and I'm saved. Well, that's true. But if you want to follow Jesus, you're going to imitate his way. And you're going to follow this verse, verse 24, is key. Paul goes on to say, eat whatever is sold in the meat market, asking no questions for conscience sake. For the earth is the Lord's and all its fullness. If any of you do not believe, invites you, excuse me, if any of those who do not believe invites you to dinner and you desire to go, eat whatever is set before you, asking no question for conscience sake. Now, this asking no question for conscience sake really implies that it really doesn't matter if someone goes, I put meat sacrificed to idol in his burger, and you eat it, you're not going to die. You're not going to become demon possessed, you know. Oh, praise the Lord. You know, you're safe. You're safe in Christ. Don't worry about it, okay? But it's the conscience we're dealing with here. It's that sensitive issue of our conscience. And by the way, in the past addressing of eating meat sacrificed to idols, Paul was talking about public dining. Matter of fact, I think I told you, they used to have, at the temples, they'd have fine restaurants. Because the pagan temples, the heathen, pagan, false gods, they would sacrifice to these idols, and then you could have some great discounts on a steak dinner out there, okay? But now he's changing it to private dining, starting with verse 27. He's talking about if anybody who you know is an unbeliever invites you into their home. It goes from public dining to private dining. And Paul begins to address this whole entirely different issue from chapter 8 to chapter 10. And, I got ahead of my notes and I'm looking at my notes. Oh, yeah, I already said that. Okay. So the principles that Paul laid out in chapter 9 still apply. But what Paul wants Christians to do is to act towards each other in a way that will not inhibit the advance of the gospel. Look at verse 33 for a moment. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit. Listen to this last line. But the profit of many, that they may be saved. If you knew that something you said or did would cause somebody not to receive the Lord, would you change it? I know every mission trip I've ever gone on, and I was a mission pastor for a number of years, and we've organized and sent out missionaries, we've done missions training, and you know, a big deal in the mission field, if you're familiar with this, is culture. Culture is huge, because what might be acceptable to you here, over there, it's a cuss word. You know, I mean, I remember, what was it, back when we went to England, took a bunch of high school kids. That's when fanny packs were popular. Remember the fanny packs? I kept it like a purse. I found I'd put so much stuff in there, I was way down to run side, you know, the fanny pack days, you know. And they do training. When you go to England, don't call that a fanny pack. That's a bad word. When you talk about going into their car, don't talk about the trunk. The trunk is a bad word. What they call a bonnet? Huh? Did I have it right? I mean, there's all these things you need to learn so you don't offend, and right away the wall goes up and they're not going to listen to a word you say. And that's what Paul's talking about. We want to see people get saved. Don't say and do things that are going to put up walls, okay? Now, verse 28 says, but if anyone says to you, this was offered to an idol, do not eat it for the sake of the one who told you, for the conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Now, I like the ESV study Bible. It has some interesting little simple outline. Let me read it to you. It says, if someone says to you, this person may be, one, an unbeliever who erroneously thinks that Christians must abstain from such food and is confronting a believer in a test of faith. Or it could be, number two, an unbeliever who thinks that Christians abstain from such food and in good faith wants the Christian to know where it came from. Hey, buddy, I think you should know. You know what I mean? Or number three, a weak believer whose conscience erroneously dictates that a Christian should avoid such foods. Now, so there's a number of different kinds of people who might say this, but in any case, the mature Christian should act accordingly in a considerate, self-sacrificing way. And again, consulting different translations, let me read to you. It's so insightful. I love nowadays with technology. I remember I had a friend who used to carry around a New Testament this thick. I think it was called the 8-Way Bible. You could only do that with New Testament, or not the old. It was that thick. It was called the 8-Way Translation. It had 8 translations in it. Good luck. Now with your technology, you can switch from translation to translation. Let me read you a couple different translations of what verse 28 says. The Phillips Translation. If someone should say straight out, this has been offered to an idol, then don't eat it for his sake. I mean for the sake of conscience, but not yours, his. That makes it pretty clear. The New Living Translation says, but suppose someone warns you that this meat has been offered to an idol. Don't eat it out of consideration for the conscience of the one who told you. Now, I'm trusting that right now as I'm talking, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something in your life that can possibly or maybe has already stumbled unbelievers because you're supposed to be a Christian and you do such and such. And you need to bring that before the Lord. I'm not going to put a legalistic trip on you, but you need to hear from the Lord. He may be saying, knock it off. Stop that. Put it away. You don't need that, okay? One more from the Message translation. I always enjoy, at least, the Message. It says, on the other hand, if he goes out of his way to tell you this or that was sacrificed to God or goddess so-and-so, you should pass. Even though you may be indifferent as to where it came from, he isn't. And you don't want to send mixed messages to him about who you are worshiping. That's good. You want people to know, I live for the Lord. So let the Holy Spirit fill in the blanks for you and certainly be willing to discuss it further in your small groups. By the way, in this text, Paul quotes Psalm 24:1 twice. He quotes it in verse 26. He quotes it again in verse 28. And again, I love the way the New Living puts it. Let me read right from Psalm 24:1. I love the way it's put because it makes it all clear. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all its people belong to him. I love it. You know, should I eat that? Everything belongs to God. I could eat that. It's not going to kill me. It's not taboo. It's not like it's cursed. Oh, no, now there is such thing as food poisoning, but that has nothing to do with, one of the worst things I've ever had was food poisoning. Another story for another time, okay? Now, the fact is that everything belongs to the Lord. So we don't act in fear or superstition, but we do make decisions based upon consideration for other people's consciences. Let me read you one more note on this from the Amplified Study Bible notes. I like this when it says, for conscience sake. Believers don't need to fearfully ask whether the meat they are eating has been sacrificed to idols. It doesn't make any difference to the food itself. However, a Christian may give the impression to others by eating sacrificed food that he himself is also still involved in idol worship. There's another thing. The places you go, the things you do, if it's anything like the things you used to do when you're in your wild days before you got saved, sometimes it's better just to make a clear cut from that, you know? Again, between you and the Lord, seek him. Let him show you how this applies. Verse 29 says, conscience, I say, not your own, but that of the other. See, my freedom, oh, by the way, here's your next fill-in, and it is, I stole it right out of the New American Standard Study Bible notes. This is your next fill-in. The exercise of one's personal freedom is to be governed by whether it brings glory to God, whether it will build up the church of God, and whether it will encourage the unsaved to receive Christ as Savior and Lord. I think that's important. You know, I just come back from a two-week trip. But, you know, no matter where I go and why I go, I always make it a mission trip. I think I pretty much used up all my million-dollar bills I took with me because I'm always looking for ways. It's fun to give out tracts when they're million-dollar bills. It's easy to say thanks a million or you're one in a million or don't spend us all in one place. You can just have fun with people and give out tracts. So, by the way, they're free. Pick them up on the way out. There's stacks of million-dollar bills with the gospel on it. I just love finding creative ways to take the walls down and to help people just think about Jesus. The second part of verse 29 says this. For why is my liberty judged by another man's conscience? But if I partake with thanks, why am I evil spoken of for the food over which I give thanks? So these are possible objections that a believer might say. Wait a minute, you're trying to rip me off. I can't do that. I can't drink this. I can't smoke that. Thought I'd throw that in there for you. So, you know, you could make all kinds of excuses. But this is a consistent teaching of the Apostle Paul through the scriptures of putting other people first and considering them that we might not stumble them. Now, back in verse 24, he says, let no one seek his own, but each to the each one the other's well-being. In chapter 9, verse 22, Paul says, to the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. Oh, there's a principle. I've become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. It's the way the Apostle Paul looked at it. Now this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partakers of it with you. You know, that's a good rule of thumb. For the gospel's sake. How will this affect people for the gospel's sake? Those who watch my life, those who are neighbors, relatives, friends, co-workers, classmates. How will this action or this talk, how will my life affect them for the gospel's sake? In Romans, boy, we did that years ago. We went through the book of Romans. Romans chapter 15, the first three verses says this. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not please ourselves. Let me stop there for a second. Let me remind you. It seems like those who with the most rules are not the strong, they're the weak. The Bible doesn't say, if you're really strong, if you're really mature, you don't do anything. It doesn't put trips on you. Matter of fact, we know, those of us who are mature, we know we've got all kinds of liberties, all kinds of freedom. Who are the weak? The ones with all the rules. The ones with all the taboos. With all the ones who say, don't touch, don't drink, don't eat, don't do anything. I mean, those are the weak, all right? So Paul says, we then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading for edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Now, by the way, this section of scripture doesn't just end at verse 33. Let me read it, and then we're going to read one more verse. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all for the glory of God. Give no offense either to the Jews or the Greeks or the church of God. You know, each one of those could be offended in different ways, right? The Jews have their set of rules, the Greeks, the Gentiles have their set of rules. The church, stuffy little church, they got their set of rules. And so we who are mature need to go, okay, Lord, what do you want me to give up so I don't stumble people? Huh? The weak have more rules, but the strong have the burden that I need to be willing to stoop down and serve my weaker brethren. He goes on to say, just as I also please all men. Paul says this. I please all, in verse 33 I'm reading, I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. You know, folks, if everyone in church just lived and thought like this, we'd see more people get saved. You know, how often do unsaved people get stumbled because they watch church people, those church people? And maybe there's things they're judging us for that we realize there's nothing wrong with that. But by all means, let's do what we can to live in such a way that we, that, as Paul says, that they may be saved. By the way, I told you it doesn't end here. I want to end here, but I think verse 1 of chapter 11 belongs with the rest of the text. Let me read it to you. Paul says, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. It is all about Jesus. But Jesus is all about love. It's all about Jesus. It's about knowing him and loving him and following him and serving him and imitating him for the glory of God and that others might be saved. God help us. You know, one more verse, then we're going to pray. And we did finish on time, or we're going to, unless I make a 5-minute prayer. The verse came to mind that was one of my old memory verses in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, that Jesus says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many.